Okay. This is Reuven Levy. We're learning together with Hashem's help. The book, Gan HaShalom, The Garden of Peace, Guide to a Happy, Wonderful Marriage, with Hashem's help, through the guidance of Rav Shalom Arush Shita. Learning in the Hebrew version of the book, went to page 239, talking about currently the unfortunate situation of divorce. That although divorce can seem like the answer to solve, to avoid all the problems of an unhappy marriage, we learned yesterday that actually there are more problems that arise than a person realizes. He puts himself in an even more difficult situation. He had a chance to solve his issues with his spouse. That's really only when he's married. After he's married, the problems which he had, the hatred, the enmity, the hurt, doesn't go away, and he now doesn't have an opportunity to solve it, to try and fix it, and instead he just has to suffer, him and his children. So it's not the solution that a person might think it is. In most cases of divorce, apart from those exceptional cases, the reason is because the husband doesn't know the rules of Shalom Bayit. Right? Rai says in the case of divorce, most cases, not all, but most, says apart from the exceptional ones, the reason, I wouldn't say fault's a bit strong, but the reason lies in the fact that the husband doesn't know the rules of Shalom Bayit. If you knew the rules, you wouldn't be in this situation. Right, we know from the rest of the book that everything goes by the man. The man gets it right, he can have Shalom Bayit with the devil. It doesn't matter who his wife is, what her problems are, where she comes from, where she's holding. It's all in the husband, because she's merely reflecting him. She's the extension of his neshama. He's the one that is the key to everything. So if he knows the rules, and he plays by the rules, so to speak, then everything's going to go fine. And if he doesn't, it's not going to go fine. So dugma, for example. Afilu ba'al she'eino aseh ma'asim kitzonim. Even a husband that doesn't do anything extreme, lo makeh, he doesn't hit, that's for shalom, lo marim kolo v'kadomeh, he doesn't raise his voice, etc. V'gam hu ozeh ba'et, and he also helps out at home. He buys shopping, etc. The chora who said the gamor. Basically speaking, he's pretty much okay. He's a good husband. And the only thing is that he checks his wife and he comments and criticizes her. So he does everything else great. He's a good husband. He helps, he gives her money, he does helps around the home, etc. He doesn't do anything bad like shouting or raising his voice, that's for sure. But he does comment and he does make comments and criticize his wife. That by itself is enough to cause her to hate her life with him. And she can feel, the wife can feel in that situation, it's better for her to die than to live with a husband like this. So even though apparently he's doing everything great, if he misses that one major principle, that's enough by itself to destroy marriage, even if he's got everything else, he's doing wonderfully well, and he has no idea. All I'm doing is telling her what I think about her, whatever it is, suit, dress, whatever it is. Anyone who knows a little bit the identity of a woman, all of this is clear to him. Like the sun in the afternoon. But who may he understands that this is the most important principle in Shalom Bayit, not to criticize the wife. Shalom Bayit baladav. That there's no way that he can have Shalom Bayit without it. But a person who doesn't know that rule, Asai kama shi asem asim tovim. Then no matter how much good actions he does, lo'olam lo yelo shalom bayit, he's never going to have shalom bayit. No matter how many times he compliments his wife, he buys her new dresses, flowers, chocolates, takes her out, as long as he's still criticizing her, he can never have shalom bayit. Because there's no woman in the world that's able to stand to suffer criticism for shumafen the surah in any shape or form. And therefore, right, that's why we said it's forbidden to criticize a wife at all in any form. Even the most correct, the most just criticism, right? Even if it's completely true, completely accurate, it's forbidden to say it, because no woman is able to suffer that. It's not part of their nature, right? We as men can, we're very thick-skinned, we don't have the same nature as a woman. We can suffer criticism, but a woman is different, she can't. So, all the more so, if the husband doesn't understand his wife, and he doesn't pay attention to her complaints, he doesn't know how to take the pressure off her, he doesn't value her, and he doesn't respect her. And all the more so, if he embarrasses her or he degrades her, etc. Then for sure, there's no woman that would be prepared to live under the same roof as this man. Because all of her hope, because all of her hope was that she would marry someone who would lighten up her life, ismachota, to make her happy, yakshivla, to listen to her, pay attention to her, yikabedota, to respect her. Imiye namakabelet adela, and if she doesn't receive those things, and even if you, and all the more so if she receives the opposite, then she's got no reason whatsoever to remain married. Therefore, a woman who lives with this difficult feeling, even if she's already got children with this husband, and even if they had many good years together, and even if deep inside of herself she has a great fear of getting divorced, nonetheless she's still not prepared to suffer anymore, to continue to live with that suffering that she has from the criticisms of her husband, or from his cruelty. And she'll look for a way to divorce in any way she can. And the husband, he simply doesn't understand what's going on with his wife, what's happened to his wife. He simply doesn't understand what he's already done. He wants a licorice minute. How can she want to divorce me? He thinks. This lack of understanding stems from the fact that he does not understand the identity of a woman. And he doesn't understand the rules of shalom bayit. And he just simply needs to receive instruction. Many instances of divorce, they're the result of the lust for women of the husband. Which leads a person to leave the wife of his youth and his children in order to go after strange women, other like foreign women, other women. And the Yetzirah puts in him imaginations. That the Yetzirah puts into his head an imagination that there's nothing better for him than to live with this new other woman. And he's certain that if he goes to live with her, Yelo Gan Eden, it's going to be Gan Eden for him. But he doesn't realize that if he's led to go down that street, meaning to go after her, he's going to discover that actually he received the darkest Gehenna in Kometa Gan Eden instead of that Gan Eden that he was expecting. Right, the Yetzirah is going to paint wonderful pictures about how every other woman in the world is the perfect woman and much better than your wife, and if you could only live with that other woman instead, everything would be Gan Eden because she's perfect. She understands you. She's going to be kind to you. She's not going to treat you like this wife did. And all those Yetziraharas. Oh, and you just okay. Yep. Right. So the Yetzirah, from time, his job is to paint pictures, lies in our mind.
But doesn't your wife have a role? Let's say you're criticizing her, and you're not aware that she's being criticized. That's how she's hearing you. Doesn't she have responsibility to let you know that you've chosen the wrong words or the wrong tone of voice?
She's going to let you know. I mean, you're going to know because she's not happy with you. When a husband, if a husband doesn't know, doesn't realize he's criticizing his wife, right? He says a remark. He doesn't realize that actually that remark could be understood two ways. She might have taken it personally. I didn't mean it personally. She might have taken it personally. So it's true. I could have made a mistake. I could have not realized. But what's Hashem's going to show me? He's going to show me that my wife got really upset. And then it's my job to actually read the signs. What's going on here? Why she get upset? What did I say? Let me think. What did I say? And I need to go back. Oh, maybe she took that the wrong way. Then I need to apologize, I didn't mean it that way, whatever. But Hashem is going to show me through her response whether or not it was. It's not down to her. She's very passive in the situation.
She's passive, but yes. She's getting angry. Angry is not passivity.
Yeah, but she's passive in terms of having to fix it. No. My job to fix it. She's not there to fix it or to tell me what I did wrong.
Her job is not to tell you what you did wrong.
No, my job is to try and work out what I did wrong, right? Either myself.
Well, she's angry with you for something. She doesn't want to tell you.
No, the truth is she doesn't know. The truth is she doesn't know why she's angry, right? Because what I said hurt her. Can she describe it? Maybe, maybe not. Does she know exactly what I said that hurt her? Maybe, maybe not. Does she know why it hurt her? Maybe, maybe not. All different things as to what that she may or may not be aware of or be able to express it. The truth is, if I did something wrong and Hashem wants to show me I did something wrong so that I can fix it, He's going to show me. I just need to look for it. If it's something that I can never know, I never knew that was that, I could never have known, so fine. Hashem's not going to put me in a situation that I keep failing and there was no way I could have ever found out because she said nothing. There was no way I could have ever realized that I said something. It's not going to be. Hashem's not playing games that are just impossible to live by. He's playing by rules that are simple and that work. If I say something wrong, she gets upset. And I have to go, oh, why is she upset? Let me think about it. And if I spend the time thinking about it, Hashem has to put into my mind, my understanding, has to give me the answer. Because if he doesn't give me the answer, then what does he expect? Can't expect me to change if you're not going to tell me what's wrong, Hashem. So the rule is, if I look, I genuinely want to know what I did wrong here, he's going to tell me. Truth is, if I genuinely said to my wife, I can see you're upset. I think I've said something wrong here. I'm not sure. Right? That's also fine. As long as it's coming from a genuine position, not trying to make her feel bad. What did I say? Come on, I said that. Right, that's not a... Right? So it has to also come from a good place, right? But if I'm genuinely asking the question, there's either she can tell me or he's going to tell me. Because otherwise that's the rules of the game. Or, you know, he's playing by rules which he wants us to understand and work by to fix ourselves. So there is always an answer. Kol zman shehu nasui, v'holech im isha zara. If a person is married and he's hanging around with another woman, v'adai chayav yu gehinam, and for sure his life is going to be gehinam. Merivot v'bayit, he's going to have arguments at home. Yiladim pagoim, the children are going to get damaged. Rahman l'tzlan, Hashem should help us. Ki v'shamayim koasim al zemod, because in Shemayim they're very angry about this. Moshe Ketuv, like it says, in the Pasuk, Lokechem shel elu sonei zima. Hashem hates zima, immorality. Right? Lachen dinim v'anashim inatfu alav. Therefore, he's got a lot of dinim, punishments, and judgments on his head. Hashkem mitarev baguf, which... going to attack him. But nefesh b'mama, on his body, in terms of his body, in terms of his soul, and in terms of his money. Right? All of those things are going to have judgments on him. Nechamat ha'avon ha'machamo she'waseh, because of the great sin that he's doing, klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, against Hashem, u'klapei ishto v'iladav, and against his wife and his kids. Right? A person shouldn't think that he can have his cake and eat it. He can get away with being with another woman and still have shalom bayit and a happy family life at home. Doesn't work. Just in case anyone was thinking about it, just for sure. Right? Why? Because although you might think, practically speaking, let's say you had one of those chas v'shalom, you have one of those jobs where you travel to the States every 2 weeks and you spend, I don't know, a few days there and you come home. Right, so even on a practical level, unfortunately, imagine such things. But let's say a person had another woman over there, and he saw her whenever he was there, and when he was here, he was with his own family. And practically speaking, there's no problem. 10,000 miles away, no right, and everything apparently wonderful, right? No, nothing interferes. There's no reason why it should affect my family life here, right? There's no, no, I'm not doing anything different. When I'm there, I'm there. When I'm here, I'm here. Everything's wonderful. No. Says in Shemayim they hate it. Shemayim is gonna put on that person punishment and judgment because Hashem hates that. So even though practically speaking, he said, "Whoa, it's not affecting anyone. No one's suffering here. My wife's not getting it. I'm giving her when I come back full attention and full everything and everything. No difference." Shemayim are not gonna let it be, and that person's gonna be living in Gehinnom on it, whether in his body, in his soul, and in his property. They're all gonna get attacked, so to speak, from judgments. Things are going to go really bad here, there, and everywhere. But after the garesh v'yichtatenita, and even if he divorces his wife and marries this new woman, who galesh shekol ha'noam ha'medumeh ha'metikut ha'vana shehi gilta klapav ya'amu v'yigozu ka'ana. Even if he does divorce his wife and marries this other woman that he's been going around with, he's going to discover that all of that pleasantness and nicety was just an imagination. And all that sweetness and understanding that he had with that woman is just going to disappear like a cloud in the sky. Because now that this new woman that he's now married, she doesn't have any competition. She can now show him her real face. Right? This woman, the second woman, who seems to be like the perfect woman, that is always kind to him, is always doing everything nice for him, never has a bad word, never criticizes him, never tells him what to do, right? Why not? Because she knows she's got she's competing with the wife, right? And she wants to, but now she's in the driving seat. There's no one else to compete with. And she's got that marriage. That's it. Right? She can now show her true colors. That's not her true colors. The true colors of a woman is not to smile nicely when, you know, you turn up for dinner late or you forget a birthday or whatever it is. No, no, don't worry. That's fine. Yeah. Right? That's not her true colors. She's putting that on to pretend because she wants. She wants him. Right? She knows that she shouts at him. He's going to walk away. Isha kochol hanashim. This woman is like all women. Hadoreshet kavod v'yachas. She needs to have kavod, respect, and yachas, a relationship. Mitlonenet tadir, and she will complain otherwise, if not. Soeket, she's going to shout. Mevazet, she's going to disgrade him. Utricha, and she needs, shebala yishmalta, she needs that her husband listens to her. Kolosman bishvil lifro et mashabiliba, and she needs to take off from her heart all of her troubles. She needs to unburden herself. Right? So she's going to do that. Currently she's not doing that because she's not in that position. But as soon as you put her into that position, she's going to act like a wife acts. That's her job. She's going to shout at you. She's going to get upset. She's going to need to unburden all her troubles on you. Right? That's her job. Right? So don't think that this woman that you met in the club, who seems to be a perfect woman, and she's great, she looked amazing, not like my wife who just shouts at me and criticizes me all the time. Right? That's because she's not your wife. And since he didn't know how to live properly with his first wife, and he thought that the problems and difficulties and the suffering that he had with his first wife were her fault. If so, so too, now he's going to have the same problem. He's going to have the same problems again with the second wife.
I have a friend, my wife had a friend, she remarried this year and next year. And the man was married before, yeah. And divorced. Yeah. So he had to say no to her.
Why? Depends if he's learned. If he's a tshuva.
Most times they divorced, why did they divorce?
Because he didn't learn the rules. He didn't learn the lesson. So if he hasn't learned anything, for sure, no point marrying him. He's going to be the same. Right? If he learns his lesson, then fine. But if he didn't...
And he not learned the lesson? So he didn't have to know this book? So he called...
But I don't know, but maybe a person can go over and do tshuva and realize, maybe, even realize he did wrong, but not... For sure, if he had this, it's going to help him a lot. But even if he didn't, maybe he can realize he doesn't want to... can see what happened and where it led. And he doesn't want that to happen, so he's a lot more careful. Could be, I don't know. I'm not, fortunately, in that position. I don't know if I can ask you this question, but it's for the good of the class, and you can tell me no, but if you can pass if you want. But when you married your second wife, mm-hmm. even though you hadn't read this book,
right.
did you approach the marriage differently, or you kind of approached it the same way you approached the first one?
According to my wife, I approached it the same way because I simply didn't know.
Right.
And she was constantly on the phone to the rub. And we sort of worked things out, this hiddenness, and made mistakes, and it kept on going. She wasn't about to get divorced, I wasn't about to get divorced, and we're going to do our best to.
Right, so that was different. So although you didn't have any more instruction, you didn't know any better from the first time, you had more motivation to try and sort things out.
Right.
Right, so that.
So how is it in the heaven?
Yeah.
The Holy God married means this is your wife. This is what Hashem should. Now you divorce him.
Right.
Married all of
them. Right.
So how is it in
the heaven? Because now you're.
The Hashem said, oh, this was a mistake. Now he's.
No, no, that is a different tikkun. So now that your original tikkun was through that woman, but now you. Because we choose our paths every day. My original tikkun was to be, chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, but now I didn't go to yeshiva. So that's not my tikkun, so now I have to go a different way. So now that was my original plan. So that now we changed the plan. And now there's a different plan. So now I'm the person I am who's different, right? The person who went through that and now came out of the other side and got divorced. So now who I am needs a different tikkun. So now I need a different woman. Before I went through all that, went through the divorce, my tikkun was this way, and that was the woman for me. But now I'm not. Now I've gone through that, and I'm not the same person. I need a different ticker.
The tikkun may be slightly angled. Namely, instead of going through one field, you're going through another field, but you're turning around and making curves, but eventually you'll get to the same spot.
Uh-huh.
It may take longer.
Right.
You may go through more difficulties, but eventually you get to the same spot.
Yeah, because what we came down to here, we came down to fix on Midot, right? And Hashem knows that with this woman, you would have got to from point A to Z in this way, right? Would have been the best way, would have been whatever way, I don't know. But with a different one, you're still going to get from A to Z, because I still need to get you, Reuven Levy, to fix your Midot in this area. So now you're not going this path, so now you've got a different path to get there, but to get to that tikkun, you still need to get to that tikkun.
They never read this book.
Yeah.
And they have no connect.
So you have
to kind of complain to them because they don't know better.
Who? The men.
Maybe they're married, maybe they come with divorce, or they have a marriage not the best.
Yeah.
Because they never read this book. They don't know how to fix this. They don't understand.
Right.
And where the complaint come? Understand? We know that everything from the woman comes from Hashem. So we cannot criticize the Lord. So
right.
The right person did not have this word.
Nahon. So we're saying that if a person sees that his wife's not happy, he has to realize that he's doing something wrong. Even without this instruction, which tells me clearly exactly what's going on, I still have a duty to be a mensch, to not be arrogant, and to, right? And those principles, right? There were people, there were gedolim, there were people who can have a happy marriage, even though they haven't read this book. Top, it's not easy. And they go through a lot of problems, but people who are prepared to work on themselves, to be humble and to act in a proper way, can still do that. It's not going to be Gan Eden, but it's going to be okay. They're not going to get divorced. They're going to live together in an acceptable way. Acceptable for them. It's not fantastic. It's not Shalom Bayit with the Shekhinah dwelling and all that. But
many times the woman, she's right. After years, she said, okay, I have to.
Right.
These are nice.
Right. Now again, that's not really Shalom Bayit. No, so it's not Shalom Bayit. Nahon. It's not Shalom Bayit. Nahon. Tov. I can.
Garden of Peace.
Let's start again from the question.
What page are you on?
236.
Okay. Yeah, so Garden of Peace, page 236.
Okay, so we're now speaking about the subject of divorce and how difficult it is for a person to go through the process of divorce and how a person should think very carefully before doing so, and that often it seems like a good idea at the time, but it can cause more problems than a person is aware of. So Rav Eich is cautioning very strongly against divorce, and that any problem in a home can be fixed with the right instruction. Yeshanam ke'ela she'achrei ha'gerushim einam yichulim lishkach et bat zug ligaber ag... We've done that. There we go. We're now on page 241, halfway down the page. So in this section we're talking about divorce. We're talking about one of the reasons for divorce is that, as we know in this world at the moment, the test of niyuf, of immorality, of lust for women is very strong, and every man suffers from it, And if it's not dealt with, and if a person lets himself fall into that area, it can destroy his marriage, and it can be one of the main reasons for divorce. He's not giving correct attention to his wife, he's giving attention instead to other women, to pictures of other women, to whatever it is. And because of that, all of his koach, all of his spiritual energy is going somewhere other than his wife. And therefore, his wife feels no connection to her husband, because she hasn't got what she should be getting, which is that connection. That connection is being given elsewhere. So, and that's only on the spiritual level. Never mind the problems it's going to lead to in terms of arguments and rows. The Shekhinah is going to leave, it's caused rows. It by itself leads to a lot of other problems, leads to debts, right? Rabbi Nachman says that a person who has niyuf falls into debt. And we know debt is something that can cause a lot of arguments in a home. So even though it's not direct, it can be certainly an indirect cause as well of a breakup of a marriage, chas v'shalom. So we're in that section. And when I was writing like this, he's talking about he's talking about what happens if a man thinks he's got it, he's going to have it better with another woman. One aspect of niyuf is not actually simply just looking at other women, but it's actually, unfortunately, a person thinks he can actually do something about it. He can actually go and be with some other woman. So he thinks that another woman is much better than his own wife. Why? Because his wife is testing him, and this other woman is not testing him. She's acting like a friend. She's acting very nicely to him. She's not his wife. She's not got that job title. But the one who does have that job title is there to fix him. And she fixes him by giving him a hard time. So he doesn't like that, so he thinks it's much better. He doesn't realize that it comes with the job, and it doesn't come with a woman. So he thinks that a new woman won't treat me that hard. She'll be easier on me. She's happy. Look, she's so happy all the time. Why can't my wife be happy all the time? Right, but it's a demon or not. Because he doesn't know the spiritual rules. I mean, it looks correct. This woman's not happy, and this woman is happy. I'll go with a happy one. It seems easier. He doesn't realize that it's not to do with the woman. It's to do with the job. So when this new woman becomes wife number two, so she now changes her job from being a girlfriend to being a wife. And instantly in Shemayim, she changes her personality. She has no choice. So what he thought was going to be Gan Eden now turns out even worse, because he first of all he had to go through the divorce to get rid of the first one and all the problems that caused. And now he didn't learn from the first one to fix himself. So he's not fixed himself. So he's now bringing the same problems into number two. And number two is going to be very difficult. Also too, now in this situation where he goes with number two, he's lost his siyata dishmaya, his heavenly assistance, because the pain that he caused his first wife creates upon him a kitrug nora, a terrible accuser. Right? If the first wife is still angry with him, and he carries round on him in Shemayim those accusations, we should always try to make sure that we appease everyone, that we don't leave anyone unhappy with us. Because if a person is unhappy with us, then we have accusing angels who have to fight. There's a job to do. When a Jew, has a grudge, is upset, is angry with someone, so that's a reality. That creates a reality. Creates angels who now prosecute that person. Right? Because they're causing me to be upset. So in this case, if the first wife is upset, still with me, the way I treated her, and I haven't made amends, and she holds a grudge. She's very upset. She's still suffering because of what I did to her. Then in Shemayim, it doesn't look good. And the person has an accuser against him. So he doesn't have siyata d'shmaya. Shaloi laniach lo rega shel shava v'nachat. And this accusing angel does not give him any peace or quiet. Lo bo'olam hazeh v'lo bo'olam haba. Neither in this world nor the next. Hua. V'nimsa shehu nafal min hapach ela pachat. And it turns out that he's fallen from the frying pan into the fire.
Oh, it's far worse than that. Have I mentioned stepchildren?
Well, they're just one way of, yeah. V'dan should know. She'ein tzarech adam lagia ledargot norayit kokav shel b'gida almanat ba'areh et kol shalom habayit. You should know that a person doesn't need to arrive at these terrible levels in order to awaken himself to put an effort into Shalom Bayit. Elahu adin lekol sugei hakusharim. But this is also true, this is also the rule for all types of connection. I don't know. Right, a person should know that what's he saying here? He's saying if a person is filled with niyot, filled with lust for women, and that causes him to go astray, to be with another woman, and he's going to cause himself all of these problems in Shemayim, they're going to be very upset, going to be accusing angels, he's going to have no peace, he's going to be.
How is it that when, let's say, a woman, she won't marry a man, he was, he's still there. But he's not married and he hasn't shown up. So you have to protect her, right?
Have to protect who?
To protect her. You say, he's not married, this guy, he will not change. So he made all the same mistakes.
No, tell the woman to give him the book. Say, give him the book.
And say, you want not the book.
So then.
But she is in danger,
isn't it? Nakhon.
Because he seems like.
Nakhon. Well, I have a friend.
So you take all the risk, and they have to collect, you see?
Uh-huh.
So she can go in the next marriage.
Could be, yeah.
Damage this thing.
Yeah. Okay, so Rashi is saying here that it's not only in these cases where it gets to such an extent where a person actually cheats on his wife and goes with another woman. He's saying here, you should also know that this rule applies to any type of connection that a man has with another woman who's not his wife. Kagon yudidot, for example, friends. Sharim levavim in nashim b'mkom habodav, or connections. Friendly connections with women at work, for example. Kol elu pogmim ma'od b'keshe hanasuim. All of these damage very much the marriage connection, the connection between the husband and the wife. Shekol kulo mushtat al ne'amanut mukletet, which it's the connection between a man and wife is built on 100% faithfulness. Uberegesha nifgemet habiladit shel echan mibnei zug a kol kores, and the minute that one of the couple, either the couple, they break that, then everything can fall. Right, so a person should be aware that it's not simply a case where he actually goes chas v'shalom and he's with another woman. For sure, that's destroys his marriage. But all types of connection with other women should be limited as much as possible. Right? It's not correct and it's not appropriate for a man to be friendly, so to speak. A person has to be sensible about what that means with other women. He can act appropriately. He can, you know, if a woman comes round to meet his wife, he can offer them a cup of tea, can be, but not to sit and talk with them. right? You shouldn't sit and chat. You're at a Shabbos table, so it's more difficult. You can't just ignore someone. But the person should still be aware of the situation he's in and limit the connection he's creating with the other woman. Right? She's asking him a question, or they're talking, they happen to be talking, it happens. Right? So, in our, each person needs to be aware of what's appropriate in their own community. If in your community, it's appropriate that, that it's the norm that men and women chat together over Shabbos lunch. So that's the community you live in. But whatever community a person is living in, he has to be aware of what he's doing. And try to keep everything as parallel as possible. Yes?
My wife did a post on that. It's called Frenemies, namely friends and enemies combined.
Yeah.
It's actually quite funny. Someone asked, why can't wives have more than one husband?
Right.
So she did a whole post on that. It's somewhere in the blog.
Okay, your feet. Talk. See the blog for further details. Okay. Talk. 3 o'clock. Thank you.